You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 100.5 FM.
Bees and other pollinators play an important role in the Canadian agricultural industry. However, their populations have declined in recent years, and some think that this is due to the increasing use of neonicotinoid pesticides. A recent scientific study published by the U.S. National Academy of Sciences supports this argument, and John Bennett, executive director of the Sierra Club of Canada, argues that this study's findings should be enough to convince Canada's Pest Management Regulatory Agency to recommend a ban on the bee-killing pesticides. And John Bennett joins me on the phone from Ottawa, Ontario. Hello, John.
Hi.
What were the study's findings?
Well, this latest study, it's really important because it found that there is a link between sublethal doses of the neonicotinoids, and it found that in sublethal doses, it actually affects the immune system of bees and other insects. And that makes it easier to understand why we had such a devastating impact of these chemicals on bee populations in, around the world.
Now, are these pesticides widely used in the Canadian agricultural industry?
Every single corn seed, every soybean, canola planted in the country practically comes to the farmer pre-coated with these chemicals. It's probably the most pervasive group of chemicals that we have today.
Do farmers have any sort of choice in whether they use these pesticides or not?
No, they don't. If they're commercial farmers, they're buying commercial hybrids to grow, and they come pre-treated.
Now, how do we know that the bee populations have been impacted? How do we gather that evidence?
Oh, the evidence is quite clear. They've been gathering evidence just by collecting dead bees and doing the analysis and discovering these pesticides in their bodies. So we know clearly that these pesticides do kill bees. In fact, they've known that from the beginning. They've believed that they could control for that by proper management of how they apply them and when they apply them. But that's obviously proved not to be the case. So they're not able to control it.
And the government stance, you said that they're blaming the farmers for this.
Well, so that's a bit of a long. What they're saying is that they've recognized the problem only during planting. When the seeds are, especially corn seeds, are coated with a large amount of this material, it's put in and it's mixed with a talc-like material to keep the seeds lubricated as they go through the planting machine. And it's a very complicated machine, but every time a seed is put in the ground, a puff of air comes out of the machine, and in that puff of air has got dust and talc and coated with this poison, and it's getting airborne. And then it gets into the water, and bees are encountering it. So bees are dying in large numbers during the spring planting air. It's part of term, you know. So that what they're saying, well, we'll just change the system of planting. And require farmers to advise beekeepers to keep their bees in when they're planting, not plant in when it's very dry or windy. These are conditions that will be very difficult for farmers to abide by, because these farmers are, you know, running basically factories, and they have, when the weather and the soil conditions are right, they have to plant, and they've got hundreds or thousands of acres to plant. So this is not a practical solution. They're also working on redesigning the planting equipment, but you know that would put that on the farmers to replace all their planters, and you're talking billions of dollars.
Now, what's been the corporate response? I guess the manufacturers of these pesticides, how have they reacted to this study?
Well, they've been questioning that there's a problem with the bees, although that's scientifically done. But if you go to CropLife's website, which is the lobbying organization of the pesticide manufacturers in Canada, they'll tell you that, you know, there's lots of bees. There's not a problem with bees. In fact, and the problems that bees have are viruses and mites. And that's why this study is so important, this latest one, because it actually links the damage to the immune system to the pesticide that allows the other parasites and viruses to have a much more devastating impact on the bees. So it's, yeah, there's a bunch of problems, but these group of pesticides make it worse for the other problems, as well as killing them outright when they get a lethal dose.
Is there any sort of cooperation between the pesticide industry and this lobby group and the federal government?
Oh, they are very close. You know, they work very closely together, and the federal government's reaction to identifying the problem, and they do admit, if you go to the Pest Management Regulatory Agency's website, Department of Health Canada, they'll actually tell you that there's a problem with these pesticides killing bees. And their plan is to put a more strongly worded warning on the package. Although remember that most farmers never see the package, they would just receive the corn. And it makes these tweaks in terms of the planting. But that doesn't explain the bee deaths that happen later in the season, long after the planting season's over. And that just seems to coincide with when the corn goes into flowers. And bees are harvesting corn pollen, and the corn, this kind of systemic pesticide actually gets into the plant and into the pollen and into the nectar and into the leaves. And that's why it's supposed to be so ideal, because any pest that's bad, when they take a bite out of the corn plant, they get a lethal dose of this poison. But it's not supposed to be getting into the beehives and taking out all other kinds of pollinators. And then over the years, when you're spraying this on and then burying it, well, there's some studies suggest that it may persist in the environment up to 17 years. Last summer, this past summer, the Quebec government did a study. It took samples from 16 rivers in southern Quebec and found these pesticides in quantifiable amounts in every one of those rivers. So they're actually getting into the rivers and into the streams as well.
What alternatives are there to this class of pesticides? What else can farmers do?
Well, there are other kinds of pesticides, and there are organic practices. There are other practices to deal with them. But even if we were to continue to rely on these pesticides, we could certainly not apply them as a prophylactic and put them on every single seed. To give you an idea how many, there's a million bags of corn seed planted in southern Ontario alone in Canada. And every one of those seeds is coated with this material. And it's not because there's a pest present in the field, it's because there may be one. They could be much more, we could manage those fields much more closely, check in the fall what's in that soil, and if it requires a pesticide, then you'd use it, but don't put on every single seed. But we think that this whole idea of systemic pesticides needs to be rethought. And while we're rethinking it, we need to get them off the market so that we can keep the pollinators alive. People should know that about 40% of the food on our plates couldn't be produced without insect pollinators. And ironically, corn and canola don't rely on pollinators, but that food on your plate. So this is, and so if we were to continue this down the road, and lose massive numbers of our pollinators, we will be looking at tremendous costs to try and deal with the problems of replacing them, and it's not feasible. So it's much more prudent to take them out, take them off the market, as the European Union has done, and they just put a moratorium on it, so that they can continue to do studies and look at alternatives and see what the impact is. Remember, they were only introduced in the market in the European Union in the late 90s and in the early 2000s in North America. We have been growing massive amounts of corn for a very long, long time without these chemicals, and they've only been around for 10 or 12 years, and we still need those, and they become the most pervasive pesticide out there. So we need to rethink this.
Are you optimistic for success in being able to persuade the government to institute a ban?
I'm always optimistic. That's my profession. But it's going to be a tough slog. We have been working very hard to keep this as not a political issue, to keep it as a science issue. So I haven't been criticizing government, because I think this is the scientists that work for the government are looking at this seriously. But we're up against a really powerful lobby. Some of the largest corporations in the world are chemical manufacturers and produce pesticides. And CropLife has decided to make it political by hiring a popular conservative MP to become its new CEO in the beginning of the year. He promises not to lobby on this one, but he, just by hiring him, every single conservative member knows what he's supporting, what he'd like them to do, and he doesn't have to say a word. So it's a really tough fight. So we have organized, in a few short months that we've been working on this, we have managed to organize 10,000 people to submit comments to the Pest Management Regulatory Agency, to let them know that the public is watching and looking at this and wants them to do something more than what they're doing now, which is, as I said earlier, putting more strongly worded warnings on the labels.
Well, thanks very much for talking with us today, John.
Thanks for calling.
I've been speaking with John Bennett. He's the executive director of the Sierra Club, and I spoke to him on the phone from Ottawa.